This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, this is Carolyn Cromings. Welcome back to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about all the ways not to get screwed in the construction industry. And today I have a topic that applies to you whether you're in construction or not. It's just purely a human topic, all about mindset. And today I have with me Christopher Dwyer, also known aka as the Yoda. He is a co-coach with me in the Contractor Fight Group, and is just a hugely important topic that I think we really need to spend some time covering. So before we dive in, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be a mindset expert, aka Yoda.
Sure. Yes. Well, thanks for having me here. It's really a pleasure. I love the title of your podcast. I hope we'll get into that a little bit later because I think it bears on mindset. I got into the mindset world. I think I had proclivities to be in it from a very early age. And although I worked primarily for 20 years in nonprofit fundraising and organizational management, I did pick up some mindset skills from that, working with people. Really my draw, what brought me into the mindset world, I think, is just this abiding interest in how human beings work, how we think, and how that shapes our world. And so I have a background in somatic psychology. I'm very interested in the intersection between the body and the mind. And I think ultimately mindset is, dare I say, a spiritual issue. So I'm a yoga practitioner, and I'm interested in all kinds of metaphysical issues and just what we're here doing in this world, and why we're doing it. So that's what drew me to the field. And I love to live in the space where these ideas, these principles, and the practical business world meet. So mindset is a way in which we can apply those principles to our day-to-day experience and have a better life experience and a better business for it.
And that was kind of my next question. I know you deal with a lot of construction companies and just individuals in general. Why do you think mindset is so important, like in the business space, in the construction space, or any business?
Yeah. Well, to put it in the terms of your podcast, how to not get screwed. It turns out most of the time when we get screwed, we've screwed ourselves first in some way by misapprehending a situation or misapplying our thought to a situation. So we attract the wrong people into our lives or the wrong situation. We set it up with our minds first in a way that's actually not for our highest and best good. So a lot of what I'm working with in mindset is the traps that we create for ourselves to, in effect, screw ourselves so that it's easy for others to screw us. So the way this applies to business is that really, you know, business is just an outgrowth of how you think, or more accurately, who you actually are. And so a well-run business, in my definition, is one where the being who's responsible for the business, who created it, and who's responsible for its management, its operations day to day, is coming from a very a place of great self-knowledge, great self-understanding, and has desires for the business for it to be something that's more than just about a livelihood. It's actually a place to play. It's actually a place to experience yourself in a way that's really powerful and that transforms your own experience and helps with the lives of others. So if you look at how many construction people and just people, business people in general, look at their business, you will come to see just a few questions, actually. They often see their business as an obligation. It's something that they're doing to, you know, keep the lights on, to keep the family fed, and that's all well and good. I don't have any objection to that, of course, but I think if you really want a business that shines, or really want a business that pleases you, that's fun to work in, fun for others to work in, and is very successful financially, then mindset is the place to start. because when you invest in yourself, understand yourself, and show up fully to your business, these outcomes, these success outcomes, the experience of running it being positive is much more likely to occur because it is an emanation or an outgrowth of you.
So a construction, somebody running a construction company comes to you, what is like the most common thing that they need a mindset change from? Like, give me an example of something of that when they come to you, like that.
Mm-hmm. Most people. Well, they'll start, Carol, and they'll usually when they come to me, they'll say something like, "My business isn't successful," or "I'm having difficulty getting up in the morning," or I have a problem with this employee. These are what I call the kind of presenting conditions, right? This is what they say the problem is, and oftentimes it is genuinely a problem, but usually there's something more fundamental going on that's causing that problem to occur. So let's just take the example of my business is not successful financially. I'm struggling. I'm not sure how I'm going to meet payroll this month. Or maybe I'm meeting payroll, but my gross profit is under 50%, and I'm just not sure how to get out of this steady state that I seem to be in where I never get ahead. Well, usually that, when I encounter that, the place I go to with clients is that they probably have a belief that is limiting their potential to make money. They have some belief that's perhaps specifically about self-worth or about finance, about money. And so what I do with clients normally when this kind of conversation comes up is we start to dig into what that belief might be and where did it originate? Because the way the mind works is that we develop these thought patterns, these ideas, these beliefs from very early age based on our experience in childhood. The brain during the period from, say, 6 months in utero through age 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there, depending on the child, learns primarily through this theta brainwave state, which is the patterning part of your mind. Right? This is the part of your mind that learns through repetition. It doesn't consciously process a lot of stuff. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you, Carolyn, were 9 years old and you saw your parents having an interaction around money. Well, you wouldn't necessarily psychoanalyze them, right, as a 9-year-old, try and figure out what they were saying, but you could hear the tone of what they were saying. You could hear the way your dad was talking about and the way your mom was talking about. You could feel that there was some tension. And you might have just concluded with your patterning brain that money is a trouble topic. Mm-hmm. Money causes trouble between people that you love. And so your young brain takes that idea and runs with it, right? It says, ooh, money might be not so good. Money causes problems. I should stay away from money. And what you end up with over time is the mind keeps running into experiences with money that tend to confirm that initial bias that was created from that interaction. And so you end up as a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old with a business and not being able to figure out why you seem to be pushing money away.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing insight just right? to figure out that
this is how we roll.
That you have that belief. So you find that. So then that, but you take it. If what you're saying is true is like when I'm 9 and I witness this and the time I'm 9 till I'm 40, I'm finding all these situations that back up. Yeah, you're right. Money's bad. And the situations that cause money are bad. Then all of those years, how do you undo that? I mean, where do you even start?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it starts with awareness. So a lot of what I do on mindset coaching is not very typical for mindset coaches, as I understand it. It's contemplatively based. And to break down that tongue-twisting big word, basically it's based in your awareness practice, self-awareness. So one of the things that I help people to do is if they have a prayer practice, I help them tune up their prayer practice. If they're meditators or aspire to be, I help them learn to meditate. But all those are just techniques, really, getting at this idea of popping awake in the moment. increasing your presence as a person. And when you become present to how you're actually showing up, you can start to observe your mind and the things that it does and the way that it holds you hostage and runs off with you, and you end up in reaction mode all the time. So that awareness piece is key. That's almost always where to start. Because if you just start with the big mess that is your thoughts and don't understand where they're coming from, where the origin point is, then you can, it's kind of like attacking a weed at the edges of the weed and not actually pulling the root. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So to answer your question, your initial question, where most people come to me is when their presenting condition is head trash. They're seeing something in their experience that they're frustrated with, they can't understand where it comes from and why they keep recreating it, if they own creating it at all. And in order for them to stop the phenomenon from showing up in their experience over and over again, we have to get them back to being aware that they're actually creating their own reality to begin with their thoughts.
That's hard, because everybody, they screwed me, they did the wrong thing, very much like you said, quit getting screwed. They're screwing me. How do you help somebody get to the mindset that, no, I'm the one who's actually doing it?
That's a great question. So maybe we could take an example from your world legally, because mindset applies to everything. You probably have clients who come in and say that exact thing to you. And how do I fight this off? And you teach them techniques and you help them with the legal side of it. But in some ways, the horse has already left the barn, because now they're in defense mode, right? They're dealing with a suit or something. But what I would say to a client like that is I would say, okay, well, tell me a little bit about the background of the situation. How did we get here? And usually that's the entry point into understanding how the person talks about their problem and whether or not they take any responsibility for getting here. And if they don't take any responsibility, if it's all about the client, did this to me, they're suing me, whatever. Then I ask more pointed questions about the setup. Like, how is their business set up? How do they protect themselves from the beginning? Did they have the right legal documents in place? How did they talk to the client? What did they promise? Was that in an agreement? And we start to work backwards to them, how they set this all up. And usually in the process of working backwards to them, we start to uncover, well, it would have been better if you had this in place in the first place. You could have protected yourself better now. And then we get into why was it in place? Well, I was too busy trying to run around and get all these other business issues solved. And I have a busy life, Chris, and blah, blah, blah. And then we keep going. Okay, why did you create such a busy life?
I got to pay the bills, right?
Yeah, I got to pay the bills. Okay. So we keep digging and digging until we get to, after the weight of several questions and a little more digging, people will come to the place of, so you're saying that I'm responsible for this. And I would say, yes, you're not to blame. No one's really to blame. Okay. But you are able to respond. And you're most able to respond to any problem that's arising in your business if you're actually available to the problem. And that means taking ownership of it at some level. It's true you can't control someone else's behavior. It's not what this is about. This is about understanding how you view the world and beginning to get a handle on your own behavior.
Gotcha. Because you're just responding in reaction to what they're doing. You have to... control how you respond and what you think. And a lot of the contractors that come to my office, like they're being sued or got a demand letter, they're like, I knew I shouldn't have done this job. There were signs in the beginning, and they go through and they do it anyways. And I get them in I had one client, I'm like, hey, your contract says you can walk this job. You can walk this job. And then he threatens to, and they're like, no, please come back. And so he does. And of course, then at the end, he ends up, getting a nasty letter.
Yeah, right. And so what happened is that contractor ignored his intuition.
How important is that?
He set himself up legally. He set himself up all right. He could walk. But he didn't train himself in the art of listening to yourself. You didn't have the self-awareness to say, physically, my gut is troubling me right now about this job. In my world, Carolyn, that's your body contains tremendous wisdom, right? It is telling you constantly what's going on. And it's a lot smarter than your head, than your brain. Yeah. The body doesn't trick itself like we do with our brains, right? When the body says, I have a pain in my stomach because I'm thinking about this job, it's telling you, you're nervous. Something is making you nervous. It's an invitation to go deeper into, okay, why am I nervous? Am I nervous because I haven't done this type of job before? Am I nervous because this type of client is giving me bad vibe? If you can latch onto that, you start to get handles into that, you can make decisions from a completely different place, earlier, smarter.
Yeah.
You see? And we all have already what we need. We all have a physical body. We wouldn't be having this conversation, right? We all have, it has its innate wisdom. What we don't have necessarily, because our culture doesn't train us for this, is the ability to listen deeply to ourselves.
Most people just ignore their bodies, like all of the signals, until like we're at heart attack or something major is going on. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Like, why are you doing this, body? What is it? I mean, how do you get more in tune with that, and then trust yourself to, when I have that intuition, to just be okay with it. I'm not going to take this job.
Well, it's absolutely right. And it's shocking to me, actually, in the construction industry in particular, because the people that we work with, those of you listening, you're embodied people. You work with your hands a lot. You're artisans, craftspeople, usually before you were ever business people, right? So what is the disconnect between being so embodied, working with your hands, having these, what psychologists would call kinesthetic abilities? Where is the disconnect between that and not listening to your body? Both in terms of business decisions, employment decisions, but also in terms of how you treat yourselves. There are a lot of contractors who can't see their toes, you know, beyond the big belly. And the people in the industry have this tremendous, tremendous heart. I mean, I say all this with actually a great deal of compassion and love for people in the space. They in their heart of hearts want to make things better for themselves and their families. They want to create beautiful environments. They want to build stuff that looks awesome, that pleases people. So huge heart. And yet they will martyr themselves over and over again, in the name of their family, in the name of the client. They'll override their own self-care or their own good judgment because they don't want to offend people, or they don't want to turn down a job or something.
And so how do you coach people to get, I mean, that's a huge one that I see, especially when charging what you're worth. You know, even on the commercial side, taking the time to read the subcontract and not signing it if you don't want to take that risk. I mean, that's all. Not doing those things comes from a devalued self, that you're not worth the time or you're not worth the effort. I mean, I think that's from everybody I talk to that's willing to talk into this space. That is the human condition.
Yeah.
Everybody feels that way. What do you do if you coach somebody to help them change that?
Yeah. Well, we have to go into the person. So as I indicated earlier, we start with the business as an entry point for the conversation, but we go into the person. And there are a number of approaches we can take. We can, you know, you mentioned earlier that we were talking about the head trash and what a tangled mess that can be. You can, you know, extending that metaphor, it's kind of like when you go to the back of your computer, if you're not a techie, and you see all the cords plugged in everywhere and they're all entangled, and you're trying to figure out where to plug in your printer, which USB port is right. It's kind of like that. You have to go through and untangle all these psychological cords. And it doesn't necessarily involve like a deep dive over and over again into your childhood. But that can be a quick way to access some of your early memories that you've embellished over time and are now showing up in your life writ large, saying, pay attention to me. All right. So that's one way to approach it is to go back. One way that a person can expedite this process of uncovering where the baggage is coming from, unheaping ourselves from all this mess, is to have a personal practice that can be start out as simple as 5 minutes in the morning. Ideally, it'd be in the morning, but really, it can be 5 minutes anytime during the day. And that time is not really necessarily for working out. It's not for meditation, even, or prayer, whatever your practice is. It can literally be just to sit there and observe your mind doing its thing. It's like practicing with this intention of being clearer, being more, feeling better. With that intention in mind, just watching your thoughts spin as they do. The mere practice of...
I bet that's a lot of people.
Sitting alone before you check your smartphone, before you check on the kids or whatever. The mere act of sitting alone there, doing nothing, just being, makes a huge statement to yourself. That is the statement of I am. And you can add on to that. I am worth it. I am worthy of this time. I am capable of just being. I am good enough just by virtue of being. See, but it goes against all of our cultural programming, especially in the construction industry, where it's like, do, 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 do. And your worth gets all tied up in how productive you are. So for example, I asked my daughter, who's not in the construction industry, she's 19. I asked her the other day, Carolyn, how are things going? How are you doing? And she said something like, fine, initially. And then she said, I haven't been very productive today. And I could tell just from the way she answered with that there's some sense of she has that she's not well if she's not productive. Now, I agree that productivity is a sign, can be a sign of a healthy person, but it's not strictly necessary. Mm-hmm. Right? Being a healthy person, being a happy person, being a good person has nothing to do with how productive you are. Unless you tell yourself that it's tied to your productivity. So when I propose things like this to contractors, you're right. I do get the reaction sometimes like, what the heck is he on about? Right? Why would I ever do that? Right? It doesn't make any sense to a lot of us moderns. But maybe, it turns out that the tradition of just being...
Yeah, maybe you can just get them to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, right. It's a starting point. And that idea of just being is as old as humanity. It's much older than the industrial workforce. It's much older than having jobs. It's primal. And if you, anybody, can connect with that basic goodness that you are, that primal goodness that you are, just by being a little bit every day, that is a great start. Mm-hmm. However,
it almost sounds too easy.
Yeah, that's the trick of the modern mind.
It's that easy, right? You just think.
Yeah, we're one of the things that contemplative traditions like yoga, Buddhist thought, meditation can teach us is that we're overly identified with our thoughts, right? We're attached to outcomes, so we think at some level that we are our thoughts, that we are our roles, that we are our job, that we are our productivity, and we're just not. The truth is, we don't know who the hell we are. We could say, yeah, I have this body. I go by this name, right? And those are true, but they're just markers on something. That name was given me by my parents. It's convenient to call me Chris, so you know what? That'll turn my head. Mm-hmm. But what does Chris mean, right? I have a body. I'm about 5'8". Soaking wet, I'm probably 145 pounds, right? Those are aspects of how I'm showing up in physical form. But those aren't the essence of who I am, right? The essence of who all of us are is really the secret sauce to mindset, as I mentioned before. If you want to be a powerful business leader, start with spending time with your essence every day. That essence is limitless. Powerful, not bound by obligation, time. It's something completely different. It's it's total potential. And sages throughout time have known this and tried to teach us this. No matter what your spirituality is or your religion, if you peel beneath the thin veneer of what you're being told are the ideas you should pay attention to and go deeper and deeper into this that I'm talking about now, you'll see that there's a huge amount of agreement among people who have looked into this human potential, that we are, in fact, not just bodies full of mostly water and bones running around doing tasks. And when we tap into that well of who we actually are, which is kind of undefinable, that's where our power comes from. Mm-hmm. That's where our agency comes from, to make a change in our personal lives, to make a change on the job, to be better in sales, to keep ourselves from screwing ourselves or getting screwed by others.
It's amazing that it's so much. Yeah. It's an internal job, right? It's an internal job. It all starts from within.
It's interior work, 100%. And I think this is why it can be difficult, particularly for construction industry professionals, because, as you know, in the construction industry, we deal with the tangibles.
Yeah.
Right? The physical objects, the blueprints, the buildings, exactly. The remodels, you know. So these invisible structures inside are a little harder to get at. But in the end, it's not a huge challenge because we all have them. And I could simplify it like this, Carolyn. What is trust? What is love? Can you see it?
But you know it when you feel it.
Yeah. I mean, you can. Here's another one. Money. Mm. Yeah, you know when you feel it. Money. You can see money. You can see physical money. But mostly it's electronic transactions these days. So you can't even see that. And even more important than that is the value. Money has value because we say it has value.
Yep.
We imbue it with value based on our thought. So almost anything that's anything in the world worth paying attention to starts with some kind of invisible structure that's in here. In the heart and in the mind. We're making it all up. We're literally creating the world with our thoughts constantly.
Learn more about mindset. So if somebody want to learn about more about mindset, and is there any books or great resources you would
send people to? You know, simple kind of conventional way in is a great piece of work by Carolyn Dweck, Dweck, called Mindset. I think it's considered by many to be a foundational, seminal piece of, piece of work. It's a very readable book. You don't have to read the whole thing to get the basic concepts. But Carolyn communicated it beautifully, based on her research, and she gives lots of examples from the business world and from famous people in the sports world of how mindset actually plays out in practice. And an important distinction she draws early. She actually doesn't define mindset very well in the book, which is an interesting point. But she comes at it in a way that anybody can grok it. She's like, she helps you distinguish, based on a few basic questions, between fixed mindset and growth mindset. And so if we have time, I'll go into very quickly some of the facets of each. But before I say that, growth, whether you're fixed or mindset, fixed mindset or growth mindset, it's not about the whole person. Like, you can have a fixed mindset in one thing and a growth mindset in another area. Okay. But it's most important how you apply it to yourself. So symptoms, I guess you could say, or factors of a fixed mindset would be someone who believes that human beings, including themselves, have kind of an innate potential that they can never get beyond. Either you've got it or you don't got it. Right, you don't really learn new skills so much, or get new talents. It's God-given, so to speak. Right, someone with a growth mindset will feel pressure to demonstrate their abilities, their talents that they know they have, and may feel really challenged by when they can't rise to the challenge, or something new comes up that tests their skill set and they fail. That's another symptom of a growth mindset.
Gotcha.
People with a growth mindset often will not respond well to criticism, and at the same time may be highly self-critical.
You mean fixed mindset?
Fixed, sorry. Yeah, I said growth. I meant fixed. Right. So those are some of the fundamentals of fixed mindset. A growth mindset, someone with a growth mindset will actually enjoy the process of learning. They may tend to see failure as kind of inevitable and as part of the process of growth and maturation. Right. Someone with a growth mindset will take criticism by others in context. You know, they may not feel as reactive to it. They might receive the criticism and use it more handily, more readily. So those are just, if you look at yourself, Carolyn, like things you do in your daily work, if we could turn this on you for a minute, we could play a little bit with fixed and growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so what areas of your life do you feel like are just flowing and easy? It's easy for you to show up. It's easy for you to get things done.
At work, it's easy to show up and get things done, but I have a lot of challenges that I'm facing, like any business owner. My kids seem to be doing all
sure.
pretty well, and
of
you
course.
Know, going pretty
right. smoothly. Good. Okay. Yeah. So, on the net, you know, on the whole, it sounds like you have that kind of perspective of a growth mindset. Like, I show up for work. It's easy to be here. There are things that happen that I don't like, but it's all good, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's dig into something where that might be a little more. Let's go into one of those challenges. Like, what's the primary, one of the biggest challenges you face on a regular basis at work?
I think I lost you. What challenges at work? Right now, we're dealing with the challenge of creating processes, and I'm not very good at the detailed uh-huh. part of the business. Right, I'm like a visionary, right? And so the very much the how things get done, and then like I want it done yesterday. I have no patience. It should already be done. I should already be doing this, and so those are the ones. Exactly.
Processes like, instantly appear. Poof.
Yeah, I've been working on it for a while, and
I've
decided that that's probably not something for me, but now I've got to find somebody else, and it's stressful.
I see. Right. Gotcha. Okay. So that's not necessarily an indicator of growth of a fixed mindset in this case. I think you have some impatience around it. So you may, and you want it done yesterday, and you think at some level it should just magically appear.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, but on the other hand, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a fixed mindset around it. It could mean that you've just, that's your process of coming to realization that you're not the person for that job. So it kind of depends on the level of your frustration and the level of your impatience. But the important thing, no matter what mindset you have toward it, is coming to a constructive conclusion about that challenge. Which it sounds like you've landed in. Like, okay,
yes.
I know I need this. Systems are important. Processes are important, especially because I impart processes to other, mm-hmm. to my clients.
Exactly.
So I have to, you know, I have to live up to my own, you know, reputation and my own standard.
Exactly.
But I'm a visionary, and there's beauty in that. You're saying that because that's the piece of self-acceptance and self-awareness about where you're strong. Now, if you were saying to yourself outright, well, I can't do the systems, then I would say you probably have a fixed mindset around that issue, because the truth is you could learn almost anything. The truth is probably more like you don't want to because it bores you. So while you recognize it's necessary, it's boring. It doesn't light your fire. And it's good to know that, because as business owners, it really, sometimes because of lack of resources or perception of lack of resources, we feel like we need to do things. But oftentimes, that things that we're not good at or don't enjoy. But oftentimes, if we can see the need for it to be done and give ourselves a little bit of grace, saying, yeah, it's not really my thing and I would have to really slog through that, we can spend the energies that we would have spent in protestation, procrastination, doing the thing that we
exactly.
don't want to do, using that energy somewhere else, like to generate more clients and more revenue that would pay for that thing to be done. You see? So knowing your mind and knowing yourself helps you to allocate your energies differently to get different outcomes. and to cover your weak spots.
I floundered in that for a while, like trying to do it on my own. And I'm like, yeah, this is, I have entirely too much going on. I don't enjoy this. I don't want to deal with it. So I push it to the bottom of the list. All of those things.
Yeah. Right. Now, getting fast with mindset, getting expert at mindset, what it ends up doing is it ends up expediting that process of coming to a healthy, constructive conclusion. So you learn by trial and error, pushing it to the bottom of the stack over and over again. Then at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, feeling guilty about it being in the bottom of the stack because you still know what needs to be done, right? Yeah. So when you focus more on mindset, what happens is you recognize when you're stalling and when you're pushing things to the bottom of the stack, and you know that's no good. You know that's not going to serve anyone well. And so what you do is you quickly start to work inside and you start to conclude the things that you've concluded, but much faster. Like, why am I pushing this to the bottom of the stack? Well, because it sucks and it's boring. But Carolyn, you said it was necessary. This is a conversation you're having with yourself, right? But Carolyn, you said it was necessary, and you're telling other people that they should have systems in their businesses, legal systems in particular. So that's not correct, right? Correct. Okay. So what's really happening is I'm emotional about this and pushing it away because I don't like it. And I'm pinching myself off from the solution. Aha! The minute you recognize that you're pinching yourself off, that's the self-awareness spark that gives rise. It makes space for a solution to come in. It makes space for you to be creative, to get your energy back. Because whenever you're in resistance, whenever you're in denial, what you're doing is you're pinching off your own energy. You're no longer available to your life and your situation. You are literally cutting off the life force.
It's like you're not breathing.
Yeah, you may literally, your body will tell you, this is another body cue, I'm not breathing, my jaw is tight.
Every time I think about this, what's going on? All of a sudden I'm holding my breath.
Yeah, exactly. My eyebrows have become a monobrow because I'm just vexed with this thing, right? So that's the body-based cue to go into your emotions, to go into yourself and figure out what's really going on. Once you deal with that piece, which everybody makes into a big mountain, right? But it's a molehill. Once you go into that piece and you over and over again develop this practice of going inside and seeing what's going on, the mountains become molehills very quickly and you come to solutions very fast as well.
Because I think that's one of the best parts of being a business owner is that you find the creative solutions. But like when I'm in the denial phase that I have to do this, this has to get done and I just don't do it, then I'm trying not to think about it. So I don't.
And it takes energy to hold those thoughts back.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, to hold them in, to suppress all that. It takes a lot of energy. No. And so while I did say before that we're limitless beings, in human form, we do have to manage our energy. It does feel like we only have so much.
Oh, now, absolutely.
The more you get into mindset, the more you free yourself up, the more you feel like you have to use.
Yeah.
But until that point, energy management is good. So when you're pinching off energy and your body's telling you that, get energy back by finding out what the issue is.
Just deal with it. Just dive in and feel it and do all the things.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't have to be this big, you know, scientific inquiry, right? You don't have to hire expensive coaches to do it. Just take your power back and know yourself. Like, pay attention to your body. Pay attention to what you've been trying to keep from yourself.
This is a lot. So if somebody wanted to know more and contact you and get like more one-on-one, because I think this is such an important thing, where would they find all your, I'll have your contact in the show notes, but where would you send them to?
Yeah. Well, they can contact me through direct message on Facebook. They can go to my personal page or my Mindset Mastery Mentor is my Facebook handle. They can go to that page and direct message me through there. They can contact my phone number directly and we'll set up a time to see what's really going on and what they're really in. I will tell you, I'm very picky about the clients I take, and it's not because I'm a snob, although I might be. I really do care about people actually, but, it's because no mindset will work. No business coaching in general will work unless a person has a will to change, a sincere intention to do this interior work that I'm talking about. If you've got that, you probably don't even need me, and the sky's the limit. But that will help you a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going through the same thing.
So that's what I'm really looking for in clients.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and being on the podcast.
Yep. Thanks for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
No, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Thank you.